Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres prepare to play their third of four in Milwaukee, and our host Jesse Agler is trying to figure out if people live in Milwaukee because they've never heard of San Diego, or if they've never heard of San Diego because they live in Milwaukee.
So is that chicken or egg?
That's egg.
Okay, that's egg. Right. You're an egg guy.
We're also joined in studio by Bill Center, who thanks to his tweet the other day, we now have to give a disclaimer to. The views of Bill Center are Bill Center's and Bill Center's alone and do not represent the thoughts or feelings of the Padres.
These opinions are mine and not the San Diego.
Everybody knows. Believe me. Nobody thinks you represent the front
office.
I know. Don't worry about that. Don't you concern yourself with such a thing.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Game 3 of 4, Padres and the Brewers. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like these two teams have been playing one another for like a month straight at this point.
Exactly.
Two games in Milwaukee, and I feel like, all right, that's good.
That's, we're done.
Didn't they play four there last year, too?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, of all the places to have four-game series on the road, two consecutive years, I'm not saying Milwaukee's at the bottom of the list. I don't know that it's at the top, though.
I love Milwaukee, site of the National Pig Tour.
I remember that from last year.
Yes.
That was like the one place you were bummed out about that you didn't get to travel to anymore because you didn't get to see the swine.
I always enjoyed Milwaukee.
The press box brats are legendary, right?
Right.
That's what it comes
press
down
box, to. Not only the brats, but they have like the Polish sausage, kielbasa. It's a great sausage place.
Any sausage that runs,
right,
you can get in the
and
press
if
box.
You know me. I'm a sausage fiend.
You're a connoisseur.
Right.
A little bit of a sausage connoisseur. No, I know you're all over that. Anyway, yesterday was the Brewers 4 and the Padres 1. Hey, we told you, we warned you about this Jimmy Nelson. We said you never heard of him, but he's been pitching pretty well. That continued last night, certainly, and maybe a little bit of a similar situation here tonight as Ian Kennedy goes to the mound for the Padres against Taylor Youngman. For the Brewers, another guy you may not have heard of, but who is pitching pretty well.
Very well.
Yeah.
I mean, and they got a couple nice young arms. Now, well, Nelson's a little bit older, but, I mean, they've got a couple arms that have developed, and that's what you've got to keep doing. You have to keep developing arms, I mean, because – the day of pitchers hanging around for 10 years, especially in free agency, they're gone.
That's so it.
That's not happening anymore.
You get them when you can, you use them up.
Right.
And
move on to the next guy.
That's
like,
it.
Pitchers are like running backs in the NFL, sadly. I think their life expectancy is not what you would have with a third baseman or a second baseman.
Very interesting. Very interesting comparison. The difference, I would say, and I get what you're saying. You're talking completely from a year's standpoint.
Right.
In pro football, the running back has become you just need a guy. You need a capable guy. That's the complete opposite of the case of the starting pitcher.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the life expectancy is relatively short. I mean,
well, the career expectancy.
Right,
we don't want to be
expectancy
morbid about
exactly
the thing.
Yeah. Well,
we're not suggesting starting pitchers die in their 30s.
Right.
They just they don't hang around for
a
while.
But their careers generally don't last until the 30s. And with the running back, most NFL running backs now aren't even playing long enough to collect their pension.
Right.
Because you got to play 5 years, and most of them are gone before then.
A lot of them are. And, that's an interesting comparison. It's an interesting way to talk about it. We're going to discuss last night's game. We'll preview tonight's game, of course. We'll talk about some of the big news from around baseball. I'd like your take on what went down in Detroit with Dave Dombrowski. We touched upon it a little bit on yesterday's show, but that's one of those, like, you know, world-shattering things within baseball. You've been around. You've seen a lot of things in your years covering the game. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that as time goes on. In addition to all of that, we'll get to your Twitter questions and comments. You know what to do. Use the hashtag PadresSH. And we're also going to do something we haven't done in a while today. We're going to bring back Bill the Magnificent.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, if you're not familiar with Bill the Magnificent, you put on your magic hat, at which point you get special powers that allow you to tell the future. So, you know, a lot of times somebody will send us a question.
Of my special powers would be get rid of the hat.
Oh, no.
Because
the hat has the powers.
Okay.
So without the hat, you have no power. So if you got rid of the hat, you would have no power. We need you to have power. So a lot of times, you know, people ask a question on the show, right? And they'll say, hey, Jesse, Bill, Randy, Kurt, whatever. You know, do you think the Padres will win 87 games this year? And I say that's kind of a tough – you're asking us to predict the future. We don't have that capability.
So you're going
to
throw it on me.
That's exactly right, because when you put on the hat, you have the capability. So it's sort of like there's these one-off moratoriums on those sorts of questions. It's lifted. And so today you can send in all of your fortune-teller-type questions, and Bill the Magnificent will be here shortly, and he will answer them for you. So just use the hashtag – PadresSH, and it can be big picture about the future of baseball. It can be about the Padres this season. It can be about the future of the Padres. Whatever you want to know about the future of baseball or the San Diego Padres, ask your question to Bill the Magnificent on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH, and he will answer it for you later.
Oh, no.
Yes. I mean, if Rob Manfred had this hat, he would be able to do such a precise job of guiding the sport into the future, but he doesn't. Only Bill the Magnificent has the hat.
And it's got a very large it's a very large hat.
Well, you've got a very large head.
Yes.
And we need it to fit you, relatively.
Right.
It doesn't have to fit perfectly.
It's Bochiistic.
Yeah, no, you got the Bochi hat. There's no doubt. All right, so send those questions in, and we'll get to Bill the Magnificent coming up in a little bit. Yesterday, though, Jimmy Nelson, no earned runs, pitched into the seventh, four hits, a walk, four strikeouts. This is the way I was thinking about it as it was happening last night. He kept the Padres off balance. That's sort of my take.
Right. And he did a great job of, I mean, he gave up some hits, but he didn't, you know, he didn't, no walks. There was an error that figured in a run. He didn't allow them to get two or three guys on base at any one time, which is what they had been really doing well in the last 18 games. So, you know, like managers like to say, every once in a while you got to tip the hat to the other guy, and I think that was the case. I thought that was a pretty well-pitched game.
In a game like that, when one guy is so dominant, it's sort of easy to overlook the other guy, the Padres guy. But Andrew Cashner was solid last night. He really was. And he pitched out of trouble a couple of times, allowed the two runs in sixth inning. In the fifth, two on, nobody out. He got out of it. That was thanks also to Lucroy being hit by that ground ball on the left side of the infield. But he kind of danced in and out of trouble.
Right. And then, like, almost every loss that Cashner's had, you say, well, there's some element that he had no control over. The bullpen gave up a couple runs. He ran into a hot – I mean, it's interesting with Cashner. It's like there's always something. And he's had a really a strange season. That's the only way I can describe it.
He's been that guy,
right,
in the rotation.
One, they haven't gotten him runs. When they get him runs, they don't play good defense. He leads the major leagues in unearned runs allowed. Then sometimes he's had trouble getting out of innings after they've made a couple mistakes. It's just a very unusual season.
Yeah, no, it has been for him, and that's got to be a little bit frustrating. Best real chance of the Padres came in the eighth inning, right? Down three, first and third, nobody out. Amarista double. Solarte gets on base with the single. Kemp had the tough luck line out,
line drive,
which was, you know, frustrating because he hit the ball well and it just happened to go right to Segura. And then a couple of strikeouts with the lefty Will Smith coming in to get Alonso and Jerko. That was the moment. That was the shot, and they couldn't cash in.
I thought the Kemp line drive, the fact that it was really hit pretty well, and he makes the play. I thought that sort of took the wind out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think that can happen?
I do.
I mean, it's first and third, one out at
right,
that point.
Right, but I still think that was just a little bit of a changer right there.
Okay, you didn't like that.
No, I like the fact that he hit it hard.
No, I mean, I understand.
Right,
yeah.
But I think that when that happened, it's like.
I was actually relieved when it happened, because
that
as soon as
a double play,
as soon as he caught it, that's it. I thought it was going to be a double play, and I was like, all right, still got a shot here.
Right.
You know, runners on the corners, one out. But it wasn't to be, and that was that. Mentioned Lucroy getting hit by the ground ball. The Brewers had a couple of guys out on the bases last night. One of them came on a play at the plate. Hey, Melvin Upton Jr. out in center field.
Great throw.
That's a nice throw.
Right.
That's a really nice throw home. And, in fact, it is our Montalvo smooth play of the game. Third inning, scoreless game. One run comes in, and Milwaukee trying to add a second. And Melvin Upton Jr. uncorked it.
Right.
Nice tag by Derek Norris as
nice
well.
Nice one hop. And not only was it a one hop that Norris could really handle with ease, it was right on top of the plate. I mean, that was a perfect throw. And it was, he had a little bit of an unusual angle, And he did a nice job of making it so he picked up the ball on the run and nice throw. Almost got the same guy later.
Yeah.
And why?
On a reviewed play.
Right. And I thought, actually, that he might have gotten him. But interesting that he doesn't slide the first time and he's out. So what do we do the second time? We don't slide again.
Yeah, who knows? Right. That's kind of funny. All right, that was our Montalvo smooth play of the game. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned Montalvo tequila, where craft meets crap. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break, come back. We've got some injury updates to pass along involving guys both on the big league roster and in the minor leagues for the Padres of interest. We'll talk about those. We'll get to some of the Twitter questions and comments that are coming in. And then after that, Bill the Magnificent will stop by, and we'll talk to Bill and get some questions about the Padres' future answered. It should be a very exciting afternoon here on the show. Join the Padres as they honor the men and women of the military with a military salute this Sunday afternoon. Catch the action as the Pods take on the Phillies at 1:10. All military and their families receive 50% off tickets at padres.com/military. Half off for all military and their families, padres.com/military. Take a break, come back, get you caught up on the latest injury news, and then some of your questions. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Oh, less than an hour away now from first pitch in Milwaukee. Taylor Youngman against Ian Kennedy. Youngman has had a very nice start to his big league career. I'm going to throw this out there. He's hit the ball well this year, too. The Milwaukee pitcher. I think he's like hitting .294 in his 10, 15 starts, whatever it is.
And it's sort of a reunion here because when Youngman was at Texas, Pat Murphy faced him in the College World Series. So
there you go. You've got the Sun Devil and the Longhorn.
Right.
So you got a one of these and a one of these, right? And they went up against one another. Sparky versus Bevo, if you will. And that's what it was in the College World Series.
Nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
That Sparky and Bevo. A couple of great mascots. All right, so last night a 4-1 win for the Brewers. Padres now 3-2 since the trade deadline. And you say, okay, what's your point? Our point is that we said it's going to take about 88 wins, we figure, plus or minus, to get into this thing at the end of the year. And so from the trade deadline on, they would have to go 39-21. And so far, 3-2. Time to win a few more.
Right.
Time to win a few more. That's what I would
say. 3-2 is not quite enough a good Not a good enough pace.
It was 3-1 yesterday, and you felt great about it.
Right, that is a good pace.
And if they would have won last night, you'd feel even better. But they're going to have to keep winning most games.
Right.
It's 2 out of 3, basically, the rest of the way.
But 13-6 since July 11th, and that would be a pace that would get you to your 88 wins.
There you go. So they got to kind of maintain that. I'll leave the math to you most days.
I know.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
I watched.
Oh, yesterday?
Yes.
Did you know that, though, about the human body with the bones? So on yesterday's show, Kurt and I, we were attempting to talk injuries, and we'll do injuries in a moment here, in medicine. And so we were talking about how many bones there were in the human body, and 206 is the answer, but there are 270 when a baby is born. And that blew both of our minds. We had no idea.
Right.
They fused together. But did you know that before we explained it?
I didn't know that there were that many, but I did know some bones
fused together. Blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. Incredible. Anyway. Too much bone talk the last couple of days. Let's do the AMR injury report and get some people caught up on what's going on. Let's begin with Brandon Morrow. The shoulder, the rehab assignment pulled off, fights his way back, gets another rehab assignment, pulled off again. The first opinion was, hey, this doesn't look so good, went for his second opinion, and now it's decision-making time for Brandon Morrow.
And the decision will be probably, I would imagine, he's going to have surgery. There's no reason to rehab right now. Because he's not going to make it back by the end of the season, and they've already said looks like you need surgery. Well, if he waits to the end of the season, the 3 or 4 month rehab period that would take him right up to spring training. I would imagine he'll have it done now.
Yeah.
That's the thing that makes sense.
Frustrating thing for Brandon Morrow, certainly. I mean,
absolutely,
barely got into it.
Right, and barely got into it. He was the Padres were 5-0 in his 5 starts. And he was pitching very well. He had the best ERA of the starters after the first month of the season.
How easy it is to forget, huh?
Right. And, I mean, with him in the rotation, not only would if he had stayed in the rotation, Despaigne stays the long man, and it just it changes everything in the bullpen because you haven't had a long man since then. You've been scrambling to make pieces fit. I think that would have been a major change.
It's probably a little optimistic for any team to say at the beginning of the season, hey, we're going to get through this year using five starting pitchers.
Absolutely.
It almost never happens.
Right.
If you can get through using seven guys that who started at least a game, you're probably doing pretty well. But when a guy is almost back a couple of times and then it gets worse again, that's probably the most frustrating thing.
You didn't expect this injury to be limited to five starts for the entire season.
Yeah.
But that's where they are now. I don't see him. There's no reason not to have the surgery now.
Okay. Will Myers, meanwhile, good news there. Remember there was some soreness and there was some concern on the wrist after he had started the light swinging again. They're saying now it was just merely an irritation.
Right.
It was the normal soreness, which is sort of what we were hypothesizing. But now that he's gotten it checked out and they've looked at it, there's nothing structurally wrong there. But, you know, just sort of the normal, hey, he's back to using it. Soreness, and I guess that's definitely good news.
Good news, but he won't be swinging a bat until this weekend, so you're not going to really know where he is until, because he wasn't having soreness before he started swinging the light bat the first time, so I don't think you're going to really know where he is until he starts swinging again, and after he goes through three or four days with no pain, then you can say, okay, we're on the way.
Now, next segment, Bill the Magnificent is going to be here, the fortune teller. I would think a good question coming from somebody on Twitter might be, are we going to see Will Myers in a Padre uniform again for a game this season? I'm just saying, that might be an interesting question for Bill the Magnificent if somebody wants to send that one in.
So I should shut up right now.
Yeah, just leave it hanging. That's the AMR Injury Report. American Medical Response is the emergency medical team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit AMR-sandiego.com. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions and Bill the Magnificent next segment. Now just some normal Twitter questions. Spoonie Barger is up first, and he says, why does Padres media, like at Follow the Padres, meaning Corey Brock, insist on calling Pat Murphy interim manager? Is this a team mandate? So, yeah, you see that in writing quite a bit, Padres interim manager. It's not just Corey.
Right.
It's pretty much everybody.
I've done it.
He is the interim manager,
right.
I guess, is sort of the short answer to that question.
Because they have not named him the manager.
He is the interim manager.
And they have said that there will be a search at the end of the year, and Pat Murphy will be part of that search, but they are going to look at all their options. And they were very specific in saying he is the interim manager. Now, they could turn around tomorrow and say, hey, we've signed him to a contract for 2016, but they haven't. That makes him interim.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just a matter of being accurate and precise. You know, for me on the show, I don't say it every time.
I don't say it all the time either.
But when you're writing, as these guys are, and he's asking about the writers, it's the technical proper term.
Right. I don't think you need to say it all the time. I don't say it all the time. But
okay.
I think it to be pointed out from time to time is the right thing to do.
Yes, I would. I would certainly say that's it's accurate. That's what it is. He is the interim manager.
That is his title.
So I hope that helps you understand Spoonie Barger. I think it makes sense. Jellyman is up next. He notices Derek Norris not in the lineup today. He was out a couple of days ago when Austin Hedges caught Tyson Ross. What's up, if anything? He's making a fair observation in that we haven't seen Derek Norris sit for two out of three games in any three-game stretch of this season. Are you reading into this at all?
Well, I think that they will be using Hedges a little bit more as the season goes on. One, we're into very hot weather. Milwaukee's a roofed field, so not so much there. But we are into August. And to be perfectly honest, the last couple of games that Norris has had a couple days off, he has played better the game after that. So I would not be surprised to see Norris get more days off this last couple months. Also for the fact that Hedges is beginning to hit the ball.
Yeah, and I think now also that Tim Fedorovich has been designated for assignment, and that's essentially them saying, hey, Austin Hedges is going to be here for the duration. It would behoove them to really start getting him, you know, a few more at-bats, and if that means he starts twice a week instead of once, then so be it.
No, I mean, and we're going to – get ready because Hedges will have probably a winter league assignment.
Yes.
Because they want him to catch up on his at-bats. They want him to finish this year here and in winter ball with maybe 250 to 300 at-bats.
Yeah, Pat Murphy said that when the team was in town last time. He goes, yeah, he'll absolutely be playing somewhere,
right,
this winter, whether it's in the Dominican or somewhere else, to continue to get those at-bats. And his progression is a big deal to these guys, without any doubt. One other guy I want to bring up, Corey Spangenberg. He played shortstop last night.
Ta-da!
For the Double-A San Antonio Missions.
Right.
And so everybody is saying, hey, we were told all year that they're not comfortable with Spangenberg at shortstop. Now he's down on his rehab assignment. He's playing shortstop. Should we read into it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that he played short just, okay, we're going to send you out there and see what you can do at short. But, no, I don't think it's, they lost their shortstop to elbow surgery. So they're down a player. They probably just wanted to give the guy who's playing short right now a break because he hasn't had one since Jose Rondon went down. So Spangenberg, I don't see this being a regular thing.
All right. So you're buying the company line, which is that they were shorthanded. They just needed somebody to play shortstop last night, and they used him.
If they decide that they want to see Spangenberg more at shortstop, looking to the future because they would see him as a utility infielder, then I think that's something you do over the winter and in spring training. You don't do it up here in the last 2 months of the season.
Okay. Somebody asked me on Twitter the other day, and of course gotten the question 100 times over the course of the season, do you think we'll ever see it? And my response was something along the lines of, I feel like if they were going to try it, they would have by now. But you never know. And you never know what September is going to look like around here. I wouldn't be shocked. And I'm not Bill the Magnificent. I have no superpowers. I cannot see the future. But I would say at this point, I would not be shocked if at some point in September we saw it just to see it.
Just to see it. But I don't think it's going to be a regular thing. I think that there's a school of thought that says Spangenberg is going to be a really superior utility infielder in the major leagues. Maybe not a starter at third because he doesn't have the power, or at second because you're sort of set right there. But he is a player that can move around and play a lot of different positions, maybe even some outfield. And I think that if you want to have him as a utility infielder, he has to have the ability to play short on occasion.
All right. So you're taking a measured approach.
Right.
But you wouldn't be shocked if we saw it at some point.
No.
Okay.
No.
But and I'm asking Bill Center, not Bill the Magnificent.
But I don't think it's an everyday.
Okay.
I don't think they're looking at him as the everyday shortstop.
Okay. There you go. Anyway, it'll be an interesting thing to keep track of
right,
in the couple months ahead of us. All right. After the break, Bill Center will leave us. Bill the Magnificent will join us. And we got a lot of fortune-telling questions all lined up. They want to hear what Bill the Magnificent
Who
thinks.
Who knows? You might ask me that Spangenberg under that hat. Completely different answer.
No, you never know. That's true. We've got the hat. We have taken the hat out of storage, the special magical hat. Bill the Magnificent will be here next. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break. And when we return, Bill the Magnificent will be here to tell you the future.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
We're back at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres and the Brewers, third game of the four-game series coming up less than an hour from now. Milwaukee, 5:10 first pitch. Very happy to be joined now by Bill the Magnificent.
Bring back the brown.
You've brought back the brown and the gold. With your fortune teller hat.
I just look like a doofus.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's got magical powers, and that's really what matters. Take a look at this thing. This is a good-looking bucket hat
with the old
colors and the old logo. You get very stylish because you flip up the front
stylish.
Of it. Yeah, you're like Gilligan or something like that. And so anyway, In case, by the way, you want to play along at home, Bill the Magnificent's hat, I believe, is available for purchase here at the Padres team store at Petco Park. But this is the one that has the special powers.
Okay.
This is the really special one.
Blooper, make me an offer out there. You can purchase this one.
Yeah. Blooper rubbed some fairy dust on it, and this one is very special.
I hope that's all that was
That's all it was fairy dust. So you got nothing to worry about. And the hat gives you special powers. You can tell the future. So we got a bunch of questions from fans lined up here. And now I will say, the first time we did this, somebody suggested that Adult Protective Services be called. So I just want to make sure, you know, that we get your consent here.
Elder abuse?
Yeah, that you're doing this out of your own volition and that you're totally fine.
I think I might go with that elder abuse.
You look great.
Thank you.
You look great.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Bill the Magnificent.
If my wife sees this, she will go apoplectic.
She's had to have seen worse than this. Come on.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, I think anyway. All right, so you've got the hat on. You've got your special powers. And Ted gets the first question, Bill. He wants to know the Padres' future. And he says, hey, Bill, what will be the first name of the Padres' first baseman in 2050?
In 2050?
Yeah, so in like 35, 40 years.
What will be the first name?
Yeah, now, see, this one's a little tough, Ted.
I'd say Trevor.
Okay.
I'm going with Trevor.
I like that you had an answer ready.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so fair enough. You're going to go with Trevor.
Right.
What about the last initial?
By the way, I won't be around if this doesn't work out. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're too worried about this. All right, this one's a little bit more immediate. Randy took our suggestion as to what a question should be, and he says, do you think we will see Will Myers again in a game this season for the Padres?
Absolutely. I think he plays all of September. And I think that it might take that long to get him back, but I do think we'll see him in a uniform this year.
That makes me excited.
Not only excited, I think it's very important because I think it's going to be important to see where he plays and what they do with him. And if they're – Operation Hope Not, if they're out of it, you might see some different things. You might see Myers at first. You might see Myers at third. You might see Alonso at third. Because if both of these parts are here next year, they're going to have to figure out where to go. Because I don't think they want Myers back in center field. Left field maybe, yes. But I don't think they want him in center. And I think that they're going to take a look at him at first, maybe at third. I think September will be very important for him.
Those are some really good points. I'll add on a bonus addendum to that question from me. Bill the Magnificent, opening day 2016, where in the field is Will Myers starting?
That's a great question. I think that if Upton departs, then he's in left field.
Okay. That was an if.
Right. If they can't get Upton back, and it's going to take a lot of money, if they can't do it, I think he's in left field.
All right, Bill the Magnificent. Is Justin Upton a Padre in 2016?
No. I just it's going to take, from what I understand, it may take $25 million a year, and I just don't see that being in. I think the budget will increase next year, but I don't think it's going to increase to the point where they can afford a $20 million outfielder.
Okay. There you go. Austin is up next for Bill the Magnificent, and Austin wants to know, Bill, will the Padres finish at, below, or above 500 this season?
I think they're going to finish just above 500. They've got a very nice run. Five of the next seven series are against teams with lower winning percentages than they have. In fact, five of the next seven are against teams that are below 500. I think they have a chance here to make a nice run towards the end of August. And then it gets tougher again when they get into September.
Sure. A lot of divisional play in
September.
A lot of Dodgers,
right.
A lot of Giants.
And I think those games are going to be extremely important to them because the only chance they've got is to have a great September against the Dodgers and Giants.
Kind of only shot. Build up against those teams. You move up while they move down.
Right.
You're guaranteeing that they lose that night. If you win, it's almost like two in the standings.
Right. But they've got to really beat up on the teams they're facing in the next seven series.
Okay. Zach is up next, and Zach wants to know if Cody Decker will get the call this season. Will we see Cody Decker playing Major League Baseball for the Padres in 2015?
Two things have to happen. They have to have an opening on the 40-man roster. I don't see them dropping any of the guys in the 40-man roster right now to create an opening. That said, if they have an Operation Hope Not Again, if they have a serious injury and somebody goes on a 60-day, or if they make a waiver wire trade and lose somebody off the 40-man, I think that if they are out of it in September and have an opening on the 40-man, they will give Cody Decker a chance.
Okay. So it's sort of a two-pronged thing.
Those two things have to happen.
All right. That's not very fortune-teller of you. That you hedged a little bit there. The question was, does he get the call? And
no.
You said, well, if A and B both happen.
No, then I'm saying no.
Okay. So if I put you into a corner,
right,
you're going to say no.
No.
All right. Sorry about that, Zach. Robert says, hey, Bill the Magnificent, when can I expect a no-hitter, a cycle, or a perfect game from this team?
Perfect game? A no-hit. God, I'd just love to have a no-hitter. I don't see it happening this year now. I'd say 2017.
2017.
Right.
Okay, so 2 years from now.
Right.
For which one of those things?
And I think
that's
that,
very precise.
Right. I think that the guy who has the best chance to do it on this staff is Tyson Ross.
The no-hitter.
Right.
Andrew Kastner's got close twice.
Maybe the cycle, too, the way he's.
How about that? He's swinging the bat.
Right. I just like Tyson Ross's stuff a lot more right now. And I think in another season and a half, he is going to develop into the ace of the staff.
All right. Well, that's what everybody is waiting for. Stealth Amy. She's got the accent.
Right.
I believe that is the accent aigu under the over the first E. Bill the Magnificent, will the National League be forced to use the designated hitter in the future?
Yes.
How far into the future?
There is a group that wants to do it now, but they don't have enough votes. I'd say it's going to be another three or four years. And I'll tell you that the more these interleague games and American League parks, or the more interleague games there are, it's going to be harder and harder for the National League to hold off on the DH. It puts them at a great disadvantage because – okay, you could say, well, when they play in American League parks, they have a DH. Yes, but they don't have a player that is groomed to be the DH. They just stick a guy
right
in there.
It's just an extra guy.
Right. And it puts them at a great disadvantage.
2017, Jesse the Magnificent says, 2017, do I want it? No, absolutely not. But I think with the CBA expiring after next season, it probably gets worked into the next collective bargaining agreement, which would hit – in 2017.
Right.
That's my own. That's an unofficial prediction because I do not have magical powers like you.
I think there are a couple things that are coming up in the next. You might not be able to get them all in at one time. The designated hitter in the National League, which the players would probably favor because that gives them.
Oh, of course they would.
Right. That gives them another player. The pitching clock is also going to be up. There's a number of issues that in the next collective bargaining agreement are going to be discussed.
Those two will probably be tied together, or very well could be tied together. The players are saying, we don't want a pitch clock, and baseball can be like, well, we don't want the DH. All right, you give me the pitch clock, I'll give you the DH. That's how these things go.
Right.
If you want to forecast this kind of stuff, listen to what each side is taking a really firm stance on now.
Exactly.
A year or two in advance of it all happening. And you've heard Tony Clark, who's now the head of the players union, saying, hey, you know, pitch clock, just because it works in the minors doesn't mean it works in the majors. You hear Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball saying, hey, we love the pitch clock. Listen to what each side is sort of digging in on now, and you get an idea of what could be traded or bargained, in the future.
I also heard that the players union say, hey, if the National League goes to the DH, maybe you need an extra player. Maybe the roster should be 26. Very interesting because that gives them another 30 players in the major league. So
that could also be tied into it.
That could also be tied in. So
all right, you want some more jobs? You're going to have to give us the pitch clock.
Bargaining's going on.
Yep, that's it. You could see an active roster type situation or something like that.
An active roster with one guy each game designated not to be available that night.
That's what I meant.
And that also gives you a little more freedom in situations like with Upton that you wouldn't, you might lose them for three or four games, but you're not going to lose them to the DL with the oblique, and you got somebody else that's already there.
That's it.
Major League Players Union would like to say, hey, we'd like to see 26, so you got some flexibility.
That's it. All right, want to get to a couple more here for Bill the Magnificent. Ozzy is up next, and he's digging down into the minor leagues. He's talking about some of the names we've heard about the last couple of years, and he says, who will be the first to get a start in the Padres outfield, Jankowski, Decker, or Liriano?
Jankowski.
You're big on Travis Jankowski right now.
I really like Travis Jankowski.
He's playing center field for the Chihuahuas.
Right.
For people maybe who haven't heard of Travis Jankowski or maybe just know the name, he's had a really nice year. Tell us.
Slap hitter. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of power. Excellent speed. Excellent defensive range. Really good defense. Arms a little bit below average, but he's got great first to third and first to home speed. Ability to steal a base, draws a lot of walks, high on base percentage. I think he could be the leadoff hitter of the future.
Do we see him this year?
You might. Well, now that's a very interesting point because they don't have to start the clock on him this year. He's not somebody that has to go on the 40 man over the winter. So, do you want to use up that roster spot? If you bring him up this September, you're going to put him on the 40 man, and that means you've used up a roster spot that you might want to save for somebody else. That's a big decision.
Yeah.
If they do bring him up, Jesse, it tells you how much they think about this guy.
All right. That's a good point. East Village Times is up next. There's another hot topic, and maybe this is a CBA thing as well, although it would involve another union, the World Umpires Union. And he wants to know if robot umpires are coming. I'll simplify. Automated balls and strikes. Sometime in the next.
Coming.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Coming. No question.
Okay.
And I believe the cattle prod, little thing that buzzes in the neck of the umpire. Bzzz.
One for a ball,
right.
Two for a strike.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Kind of thing.
Right. Exactly.
I agree with you on that one. All right. One final one. Robert, it's his lucky day. Robert Tebow gets in two questions for Bill the Magnificent today. But I like this one. Will the Padres make any waiver trades in the month of August? Everybody knows the non-waiver trade deadline is passed. This month, if a player clears waivers, he can be traded to any club. If he's claimed by a team, he can be traded to that club. Will the Padres make one of those moves this month?
I think they will make a waiver trade this month.
Okay.
Yes, there will be and that will open up a spot in the 40-man.
All right. There it is. Bill the Magnificent. Can we get one more shot of Bill the Magnificent? I mean, let's just embrace this, enjoy it, appreciate it.
I know.
Magical. Really, it's the only word to use. Magical.
Well, there's another word.
Yeah. All right. Nice job, Bill. We appreciate you being a good sport. Sip in style at one of Petco Park's newest events, Cocktail Fest, presented by Southwest Airlines. The mixing returns August 7th, beginning at 4:30 p.m. Stay for a summer night of baseball as the Padres take on the Phillies at 7:10. So get your tickets now at padres.com/party. Padres.com/party. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about some of the other things taking place around baseball and get you ready for tonight's game in Milwaukee.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Nice job by Bill the Magnificent. You were magnificent.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Great questions coming in as well. I want to remind everybody, Bill the Magnificent was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Beautifully done by Bill the Magnificent. Padres, of course, have an interim manager. Milwaukee has hired Craig Counsell to be their manager. One of the other teams who made a managerial switch this year was a squad we just saw a lot of, the Miami Marlins. Dan Jennings moves from general manager to field manager, a little bit different during the season.
Named himself.
Basically. Not really.
Right.
The owner's pulling the
owner,
there.
Right.
But anyway, the expectation is that Jennings will go back to the front office after this season. And so a lot of names have been thrown out there for the Marlins managerial post next year. Buddy Black's name has been connected just because he's obviously a candidate for really any opening, I would imagine. But I saw another name emerge today that has a Padres tie. Terry Kennedy. His name
has been connected
to the Miami Marlins.
A very interesting, in my mind, that's a very interesting, he's got experience. He's old school, and we see an awful lot of managers nowadays are you know, players-type managers. They get along. Their first job is to get along with the players and be friendly. Terry Kennedy is a very old school, hard-nosed guy as a player, and I see the same thing as a manager. That would be a major shift to name Terry Kennedy, which, by the way, I don't disagree with being old. I don't disagree with that.
You're not saying it is a knock.
No, but it's different than what we've seen a lot in Major League Baseball these days. People and Pat Murphy's a little bit old school too. Mm-hmm. He will take a player to task publicly if he doesn't see something. Not the old whipping style that like Dick Williams used to have, but he will say, "Hey, I didn't see the sharpness that we expected." Terry Kennedy's sort of from that school. That's a little counter to what we've seen. I'd really like to see how he'd do.
TK has been scouting for the Cubs the last several years. But very interesting. That was the first time I saw that earlier today.
His dad was a manager.
Yeah.
I mean, Terry Kennedy is a very, very knowledgeable baseball person.
Big time. Want to get your quick thoughts on the Detroit situation. Dave Dombrowski, leading the Tigers into an era unmatched in their recent history. And by recent history, I mean 60, 70 years.
Right.
It's been a long time since they had any kind of success outside of a little blip here, a little blip there, and obviously 84. Really, one of the dominant teams in baseball the last decade or so, and no World Series title. Maybe patience ran out there. Maybe there's other stuff taking place behind the scenes. But this surprised a lot of people yesterday.
Surprised me. I mean, and sadly, I think we're an awful lot into this "what have you done for me lately" type thing. Dave Dombrowski is a builder, and he took that franchise from a very low point and built it up to a perennial contender. I was stunned by that one. I was really shocked. And I'll tell you, whoever gets Dombrowski, and I mean, not going to be here, but whoever gets him, that ball club is going to be better off for it.
I don't think there's any question. All right, we'll step aside, and on the other side of this commercial break, I'll give you tonight's starting lineup and talk a little bit more about tonight and Ian Kennedy, Taylor Youngman going head-to-head, Padres and the Brewers. On Saturday night, it's baseball night in San Diego, and an all-fan giveaway is in the works. Everybody in attendance will receive either a Gary Templeton or Benito Santiago throwback replica jersey presented by Fox Sports San Diego. Catch the Padres and the Phillies at 5:40. You get the Hall of Fame ceremony beginning at about 5 o'clock. And when you leave, you get to put on the throwback brown and orange. Get your tickets if you don't have them already at Padres.com. Hall of Fame weekend. Dick Enberg will be honored prior to Friday night's game. And then Templeton and Santiago inducted into the Padre Hall of Fame on Saturday night. Take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio, Padres Social Hour. We're in San Diego. The Padres are in Milwaukee. Long road trip, man. New York, Miami,
and Milwaukee.
And now Milwaukee, where they'll play four games. Two in the books. They've split the first two games of the series. Padres are going to try and take game three tonight, game four tomorrow. This evening, Ian Kennedy will be on the mound against young Taylor Youngman. See what I did there?
See, I saw that.
Yeah, that was really clever. Let's take a look at
Nobody's
the Padres.
Nobody's ever done that one
starting
before.
Lineup. No, probably not. He spells it with a J, so maybe they haven't. The lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right. Rolling with Amarista and Solarte at the top of the order. Matt Kemp batting third. The big news, of course, is that Justin Upton is back in the lineup after the night off last night with the thumb bruise. He's in left field. Alonso at first. Jerko center. Venable in center. Mentioned earlier, Austin Hedges behind the plate for Ian Kennedy. Upton being back is the lead. Hedges being in there is certainly newsworthy.
And you're seeing a lot of regularity in the top five spots. When Norris is in there, then a little change at the bottom. But there hasn't been a lot of changes at the top of the order recently.
No, and every time you want to start to try and take somebody out, they do something that says, well, let's leave him in there.
Right.
And that's kind of been the case at least the last couple of nights with Alexi Amarista and Solarte. Good for him, man. He's keeping it going. If you're looking for paradise, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. So visit the new Maui Waui locations inside the ballpark, at the park, at the park, or the Mercado. They are also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break and wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Hey, this has been a fun one. Credit to Bill the Magnificent. Yeah, But also
credit to the questions.
The questions coming in on Twitter for Build a Magnificent were really,
really good.
Really good questions today. I mean, you had the small picture stuff like Will Myers. You had some big picture stuff like 2050.
Right. Remember, Trevor.
Trevor will be the name of the Padres. The first name of the Padres, what was it, first baseman?
Right.
In 2050. You're making that prediction. Hey, it's a good name in Padre history.
Right. That's where I'm going with it.
All right. Ian Kennedy looking to continue his role against Taylor Youngman tonight. It's been good for Ian Kennedy as of late.
He's been very good. And again, he's making a late run. Again, maybe somebody you want to consider for your rotation next year.
All right. That's it for us. The game is coming up. First pitch about 10 minutes away. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning with more Padre Social Hour.